Will you open your Bibles, please, with me today to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, that portion of the Word of God we are studying together as we continue our discussion of Matthew's Gospel, verse by verse and chapter by chapter. The 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, which we are studying at the present time and will be studying for some days to come, gives us the story of the kingdom of heaven, that is, the influence of Christendom while the Lord Jesus Christ is gone away and at the present is sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. The message concerning the influence of the kingdom of heaven, we have found, is presented to us in the form of parables. The first parable which the Lord Jesus Christ presented was the parable of the sower and the seed, which describes the response of people all during this era to which we've already referred, the response of people to the message of the kingdom. Then he told the parable of the wheat and the tares, which we said illustrates the fact that the devil could imitate everything that Jesus Christ did during this particular age. As the Lord Jesus Christ won people unto himself under the symbolism of wheat, the devil would sow among the wheat his children under the symbolism of the tares. And the imitation would be so exact that ordinary individuals such as you and I would find it very difficult to know which were wheat and which were tares. So we, as individuals, cannot go about attempting to make the distinction, lest we harm the wheat in attempting to do away with the tares. Now the third parable that we considered together was the parable of the mustard seed, which illustrates the abnormal growth of the kingdom of heaven from without. The kingdom, illustrated by the mustard seed, we found, was to be small and energetic, without worldly influence. Instead of the mustard seed growing into an herb, which you would normally expect it to do, it grew into a great tree, and all evil forces took up their residence in the branches of the tree and influenced the governments of the world, until the governments of the world climaxed, or will climax, in that final great dictator of the whole world known as the Antichrist. And the Antichrist and the great false church described in Revelation 17 cannot be separated until the Antichrist destroys the church. And that is the end of the organized church. Thank God the organism, the body of Christ, will continue on throughout all eternity. Now, as we begin today to look at another parable, we're going to look at growth in the kingdom of heaven. But this is not abnormal growth from the outside. This is abnormal growth for the inside. Will you notice in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, another parable spake Jesus unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. This parable will illustrate the abnormal growth of the kingdom of heaven from within, and it will also give the reason for the abnormal growth from without, as the abnormal growth from within is actually explained. Now, that sounds like a mystifying statement right at the moment, I know, but we'll know by and by what it is we're saying to you. We would remind you that this is the only verse that deals with the parable of the leaven. Very short parable indeed, isn't it? No explanation is given within the chapter itself, and we would have to know what it is or what can be found in the rest of the Word of God related to it to understand it thoroughly. I have often suggested to you that one way to understand the Scriptures is to examine the misinterpretations of the Scriptures, so that we might put all things in their right relationship. And I think here, indeed, it is wise for us to notice the common misinterpretation of this parable, because you may be more familiar with it than you are with the actual truth of the parable itself. I believe that this parable is misinterpreted more than any other one, and I think that this passage of Scripture is related to greater misinterpretation than almost any other passage of Scripture, because the misinterpretation is very common, and a great amount of evil has been done. When we looked at the other parables, we looked at the interpretation which the Lord Jesus Christ gave of the various symbols of the parables, that we might know how to interpret the whole parable. And since we don't have any interpretation given by the Lord Jesus Christ, as I mentioned, we're going to have to look elsewhere in the Word of God to know what the interpretation of the various symbols of the parable actually are. As we look at the misinterpretation first, we notice that leaven is often wrongly interpreted as being the gospel. A woman sowed leaven amidst the meal. And those who misinterpret the parable say that the leaven is the gospel. The meal, they say, is the world, so that the gospel is sown throughout the world. Of course, the phrase, till the whole was leavened, they believe, speaks of a converted world. So those who misinterpret this parable in this connection teaches that the responsibility of sowing the gospel or preaching the gospel throughout the whole world is yours and mine, so that eventually the whole world will be converted. And when the whole world is converted, all evil will be overcome and the forces of Satan will be robbed of their power, because you and I were faithful in preaching the gospel. They describe this, of course, as bringing in the kingdom. And they say that we must be faithful in our work to bring the kingdom in. I would like to say that it's erroneous from a scriptural standpoint to say that we are bringing in the kingdom. It's better to say that we are bringing the king back. When the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed to the extent that every person whom God in his sovereign plan intends has been placed into the body of Christ, and the body is complete, the king will come back for his church and will eventually set up his kingdom. We don't bring the kingdom in. We can't. We declare the gospel. We declare the gospel that man might be saved. And when individuals are saved, they are added to the body of Christ. And when the body of Christ is complete, Christ will return for his body, which is the church. Now, some of you may think I have made some very definite statements, and you may think, how do you know that you're right? You've already said some good people hold to this other viewpoint, and yet you seem so definite in what you say. How do you know what is right? Well, I know I am right because I have examined the symbols of the parable in their correct relationship to the rest of the Word of God. And I'm going to do that with you today, as the Lord permits, so that we can look at the thing from the same viewpoint. Let me suggest that we examine the first symbol of the parable, the word leaven. As we think about that, let me say to you that leaven is used 98 times in the Word of God as a type of evil. Now let that sink in. Then let me remind you that God never changes his symbolism. If there is ample proof in the Word of God that leaven is used as a symbol of evil consistently, it will never be used other than that way, even one time. So you see, there's no way that leaven could stand for the gospel when always it stands for evil. Further evidence in the scripture that leaven is always used as a type of evil is found in the fact that it is excluded from all of the Old Testament sacrifices with the exception of two. All of the sacrifices except those two represent the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. So leaven is excluded. Two of the sacrifices are related to human failure, and so leaven is included in those sacrifices, thus making our type consistent. Leaven is a type of evil. The word leaven is used by the Lord Jesus Christ in connection with the word beware and in connection with the word doctrine. The Lord Jesus was speaking to his disciples one day, and he said to them, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And immediately the disciples thought he was talking about the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And they said, "He's scolding us because we didn't bring any bread on this particular journey." The Lord Jesus said, "You're slow of heart, you're blind." I'm not talking about ordinary bread, I'm talking about doctrine. "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." I mean, said the Lord Jesus, "Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." The doctrine of the Pharisees was legalism, and the doctrine of the Sadducees was skepticism. And he said, "Beware of these things which are leaven." And here again, leaven is used as a type of that which is evil. In chapter 8 of the Gospel according to Mark, verse 15, there is recorded a similar incident when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and beware of the leaven of the Herodians as well, for that is evil. Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Herodians." The doctrine of the Pharisees was legalism, as we have said. The doctrine of the Sadducees was skepticism, as we have said. But now a new thought is introduced, the doctrine of the Herodians, which is materialism. Now, these all indicate to you that leaven is a type of evil. But we don't have to stop there. We can go over into the Apostle Paul's letters. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is a record of sin in the midst of the church. And the Apostle Paul said that sin must be dealt with and must be dealt with at once. Don't you know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?